Blog Talk Radio.
What do you think of that introduction? Dude, I got, real quick for the people listeners, you're here, you're at Scoop Slam Radio. Don't forget you can check out Scoop Slam Radio every Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Don't forget you can also check out onthemat.com as well as myluckygee.com. Still waiting for them to send us some stuff, Mike. I'm trying not to be too pushy or whatever because Phil from the warehouse said he's going to try and get us some stuff out here as soon as possible. So hopefully it comes soon. Go ahead. Real quick, Mike, bring us in so we can talk about this new machinery.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another bomb episode of Scoop Slam Radio. I am your host, Big Mike, and on the ones and twos, making us laugh tonight, of course, is the legend, Favi Chulo. What's up, Favi?
Now we really got some ones and twos because we got this as well as this. If somebody comes on, I'm making myself laugh. Give us a good slap. But, you know, glad to be here, bro, on Tuesday. Usually I'm killing myself trying to get here on time so that we could be ready to roll at 7 o'clock. But I was actually able to get home a little bit earlier, get some stuff done. And this is actually Mike's machine that's got so much stuff. I mean, it's got so many cool gadgets on it. So hopefully Mike and I can get together so that we can bring some. So we want to get that no context Dusty Rhodes promos in there. But real quick, for the people listeners, we're going to have Tom Erickson on at about the 7:15 mark. As you know, Mike, the NCAA finals just finished. You know, he's coaching over at Duke University. And, I was telling Mike earlier, I've been cleaning out the garage, and I have a lot of Pride tapes because, you know, Tom Erickson used to fight in Pride. And I don't know if people still have a DVD player or whatever. I have one in my garage that I can put on when I'm working out. And I put one on, and it was a trip because the first fight that came on was Tom Erickson against Tim Katalfo. And Tim Katalfo, big old bruising dude or whatever. And Erickson handled him. I mean, we might have to start calling him the smooth operator because he just was cool, calm, took him down, punched him out, and he was done. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Then, of course, talk a little bit about coaching the Duke University wrestling team. And because, you know, there's a lot of new stuff, Mike. It's 3 points for a takedown now instead of two. A lot of replays, you know, that they can go to and stuff. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then at about 7:45 mark, Mike, we got Anthony Wagner. When I texted him, he said, you know what, my daughter has a softball game. I'm going to try to be done by it and get on there. But if not, I'll send one of my partners or whatever to sit in on the news. So real quick, Mike, give us a preview of what we can expect for the news that's coming up.
Well, Ronda Rousey did an interview where she said she would never go back to WWE.
Right.
And she was talking about last year's Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair match at WrestleMania and how the referee kept telling them, you know, basically take it home. As Ronda said, Charlotte pulled out her big dick and said no. No, we're gonna have this amazing match, and they did. And Ronda was like, you know, they're always trying to tell the women to hurry up because they didn't want the crowd to be too tired for the men,
right?
That came after them. So she's like, they always put the women on the back burner, you know, which sucks because they got a lot of good workers over there. So.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of stuff we're going to talk about. And we're going to talk about Terry Gordy.
Oh, yeah, I got to talk about that, man.
Yeah, it's man, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but
yeah,
we'll talk about it. It was touching. It was sad.
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but there's a certain button here on my right that I turned to the right, and now I can hear you clear as day. So it was probably on my end, but I can hear you perfect now. I'm sorry. But real quick, Mike, I definitely want to get to that, talk about Terry Gordy, which was it was horrible. But can we talk a little bit about – because we've – I mean, for the people listeners, we talk about behind the scenes. Mike and I met twice this week because we're we're putting everything together for the next big Pacific Wrestling Alliance show. Can you, are we allowed to talk about that you secured the date and what we got going?
Well, let's talk about the date, July 13th, Saturday night, July 13th. We are back at Metroplex, but we're going to be outside this time.
Yeah.
We're having our first full-blown outdoor show. It's going to be a tournament, folks. It's going to be a tournament. We are going to crown our first ever Pacific Wrestling Alliance heavyweight champion. So, participants to be coming soon. We'll let you guys know who's in the tournament, but that's what the plan is. We're gonna have a nice big tournament, nice big shindig, and crown ourselves our first heavyweight champ. You know, I'm excited. I know you're excited.
I do. I mean, you want to talk about behind the scenes. I mean, we got to tell these people maybe later on once we get to the news, if we have some time, about all the stuff, the little stuff, just to move the show outside and the different things that we have to do. But where the controversy lies, okay, is when we went back and forth, we even had a few wrestlers, you know, sitting in on some of our meetings and stuff like that. I want to call it the World Heavyweight Champion or the World Champion, PWA World Champion. And Mike wants to call it the PWA Heavyweight Champion, which both,
yeah,
you know, are doable. But to me, it seems like world because – whoever's going to be crowned this world, I mean, this champion is going to be taking on all comers, you know, pro wrestling, lucha libre, strong style, you know, it's going to be all those type of different competitors that are going to be competing in this tournament. So maybe we could put that out there. Maybe not this show, but the next show, you know, so I could put the guest call in number out there, and we could have them call in and say, hey, you think it should be world or it should be heavyweight? Now, that's my opinion about the world championship because we're going to be bringing all comers. you got people from Mexico, Samoa, America. You know, we got a lot of different cultures or whatever that are going to be coming in. So that's my take on it. Why don't you give us your take on why it should be the heavyweight championship?
Well, because we're new, one for one, and you know, I want us to be established.
Uh-huh.
And once we're more established and our champion is defending the title more and against, an assorted group of people,
right,
and what that we'll be able to say, hey, he's wrestled people from everywhere. Now we can call it the world's heavyweight championship, but not until we get cemented in and get a foundation and you know we really got to get a following behind our champion, and I think once we do that, we'll be able to call him.
If we put it out there to the people. And they say, well, first of all, what if they say this?
What?
It's going to be the world champion.
What?
if we put it out there, let's say next week we have a show and we say, call in and you give us and it's an overwhelming majority. Yeah, it should be the world championship. Will you change? Or you say, hey, I'm you know, this is my company. I think we should go heavyweight first
until it's
the world champion. Or will you give the people what they want?
You know, I'm not that kind of person that will be like I'm not going to take my ball and run home. You know, if that's what everybody wants, then that's what we'll do. You know,
because if you said no, this is my company. I'm decided. This
that's,
is what I want,
that's,
and this is why what might be what happens.
The whole company blow up. You cold, man.
Oh, you don't want to listen to us? there's so much stuff on the board. It's amazing. But that's why, Mike, you know, we have this show and why we talk about, you know, the behind the scenes and stuff like that, because some people You know, somebody might call and go, you know what, Father, you don't know what you're talking about, man. You got to be heavyweight champion so we can have some big boys taking some big bumps. And if you get, because they do, when you think about it, the wrestlers that we have in PWA, you know, the Vitos and the Mike Yoshes, and, you know, the AJs, Jimmy Mayhem, those are some big dudes, man. And when they take a bump on that ring, you can hear it, especially when we're working inside. So I get, you know, where you're coming from with that or whatever, but, you know, it remains to be seen. In other words, we'll see what happens. That's just one of the many things that we have to, the little things, right, that we have to get straightened out.
Yeah, you know, and we still have to keep in mind, we're still a growing company.
Right.
We haven't really put our foot in it, if you want to say that. The next few shows that we do, we're going to put our foot knee deep in the SoCal independent wrestling.
Right.
We got some things in store for folks. We're going to be different than everybody else. So you know, stay tuned.
We've been putting what's the saying, Mike? We've been putting our nose to the grindstone. Or whatever, because we were talking about yesterday. We met yesterday. I mean, we all work a full time job, but it's like, Mike, you know, we got to meet, bro, because you know, July 13th will be here before you know what. And little things like, since it's going to be outside now, Mike and I are going back and forth because we want to put the big spotlights on the ring. And I'm like, dude, I think we only need two. Nah, bro, we need four. Well, why do we need? Well, if there's a dark spot, I don't want somebody. And I'm like, God dang, he's right. You know, and so I said,
know.
Mike, we only need two. And he went like this.
Snap
Listen.
Out of it.
Straight
Snap out.
Out
of it, damn it.
That's why we meet. And that's why, you know, it takes so much. Because, like, Mike, you and I talk about all the time. Anybody can rent a ring, pay some wrestlers, and have a show. But if you want to do it right, it's the little things like that that people don't really, you know, see or talk about, whatever, because you know it's the little things like that. And you were right. I have to admit when I was wrong. I'm like, Mike, you know, I don't know if you're crapping money or whatever, but we only need two spotlights. And then we said, well, we need four. And I'm like, what's it? And you go, I don't want them to be wrestling in a dark spot nobody can see. And I went, God dang it, he's right. So that's why we meet, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, like you just said, I mean, we can put together a bubblegum show and call ourselves a wrestling company and not have the respect of the respect of the wrestlers. Or we could run the most professional company and put on the best shows and have everybody saying, when's the next one? I want to come back.
Right.
You know, like the tournament, we had a young lady, like, I want to be a pro wrestler. She was like, I want to be a pro wrestler. This is what I want to do. I want to be a pro wrestler. Well, okay. All right.
Well,
you gotta grow up a little bit, but okay.
And the proof is there. I mean, we did two shows, you know, that didn't draw very many, and it was in a small venue. And then once we got, our feet in the water, so to say, We went to the big show that really did well, and now it's on another level, you know. So we just have to keep going from there. But let me go ahead and get Tom Erickson in here so we can talk a little bit. You know, his daughter is about to have the baby at any time. So he's like, bro, if you know her water breaks and I got to get out of there, I'm like, no problem, man. I totally understand. So let me take a quick break, Mike. We'll get Tom Erickson online. We'll talk a little bit, college wrestling, some pride and stuff like that. Then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more on the news. All right, my man?
Right on. Let's go.
I'll bring us back with this song. Hold on.
Thank you.
Okay, that's the song that we were bringing us that back in, but then I told Mike before we went on air, I said, what about this one? You gotta check this boy out because there's some stuff on here. Then I don't know what you went on. Sorry, Mike. I didn't mean, I had to put it on, man, just for real quick. But
hey, man,
I got good news, Mike, and I got bad news. Okay, I'm always telling Mike this. The good news is I was able to text Tom Erickson and let him know that he can call him whenever he's ready. The bad news is he silenced all his messages, so his daughter might have went into labor.
That's all right.
Yeah, no problem. And he, you know, Tom Erickson is a type. I've had him on before, and you know how, Mike, I'm always telling you about legitimacy and how you know, when you get certain people on, it legitimizes your show, like a Sean Shirk, you know, like a Rich Clemente. He's one of those people too. I can go to him with, and plus, Mike, there's no substitute for experience. You know, if I talk to him about, well, you know, it's 3 points now, you got to work, he's going to be right there, you know, talk about it because
right.
he lives it. So if he can call in, cool. If not, we totally understand. And he totally told me, hey, I don't know about you, Mike, but I'm pretty sure family comes first, right?
Oh, of course it does. if his daughter's in labor, hey, God bless her. You know, we pray for a healthy young baby. It doesn't matter what gender it is.
Yeah,
just want to have a healthy young baby, and you know, and just bless Grandpa and keep him going.
We'll give him this. If the baby's coming in the next hour or so, we'll give them our applause.
Exactly.
That's a long applause, right?
So,
and then they'll say, Mr. Erickson, you have a brand new baby granddaughter. And they'll go like this. give it a kiss like that. But, so, you know, we can continue talking a little bit about the show that's coming up, and then I'll try to get Anthony Wagner in at about the 7:30 mark, so that'll give Tom enough time if he can call in or whatever. So if not,
okay,
you know, no big deal. We will definitely, if he doesn't call in and is not able to, we will definitely have him on maybe next week or whatever, because he's totally like, bro, man, you know, it'd be my pleasure to come on and stuff like that. So anyways, Mike, real quick before we continue, for the people listening, you're here, you're at Scoop Slam Radio. Don't forget, you can check out Scoop Slam every Tuesday. We usually try to make this show every Tuesday, 7 o'clock, so we can have, you know, a set time, because, you know, with sponsors and people, they want to make sure they hear the commercial at a certain time, which we're working on now. Again, Mike, with the meetings, we're trying to get everything together. With that, we talked about getting a new guy to upload some stuff to the computer, because with all the footage that we have from the last show, which is another thing,
yeah,
Mike, that people don't understand, we got to get somebody to upload that to the website. So when
website.
We, you know, see somebody and say, hey, man, go to the website and you can check out the highlights, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactamundo. So
right.
We're working on a whole lot of stuff, you guys. Like I said, we don't want to be a bubblegum company.
Right.
We know what we're doing, but now it's time for us to get people in that know more than us in certain
right.
areas. And those are the areas that are becoming more important, because it's not just about the wrestling. It's about the marketing. It's about, you know, the social media, you know, and getting your product out there. And we're going to have some people put in place that can do that for us. And so, you know,
all right.
In order for us to be the best, we got to get the best, and we got to do the best, and that's what we're gonna do. So, stay tuned.
Real quick, Mike.
We got some things coming, baby.
Man, we sure do. We got some funky monkeys to drink. Tom says he's trying to call in and it won't connect. So let me try him. Hopefully, it'll connect and we'll be good to go. Takes me a minute to get acclimated to my surroundings here. Tom, can you hear us? Just got him online here. Hold on a second. Sorry about that. Let me try one more time, Mike. Sorry about that. Live radio, everybody. I gave him the right number. That'll do it. You know what, Mike? I hope I didn't give him the wrong number.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 7654267072 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more.
Dude, I'm pushing X's and nothing's happening. Could you hear me there? You know what? Whoever was calling on that other line, sorry, man, I cut you off because I was trying to get Tom Erickson on there. You know what, Mike? I might have. See, I don't know if he knows that his line is silenced, so let me try again. And it's 6, 5, 6.
Yeah, because you hung me up, man.
Did I hang you up? Are you still there?
Yeah, that's why I had to call back.
you know what? I might have gave him 988, so 999. Okay. 6, 4, 3. I might have gave him the wrong number.
Yeah, see, that's really.
Hold on. But you know, we, real quick service message. We need to get us an engineer here. And especially Tom Erickson, man. I don't want that dude to body slam me onto the mats or whatever.
Exactly.
Okay. So here we go. This should be it right here. Hey Tom, it's Fabi. Can you hear me, my man?
Yes.
Oh, you know, Tom, I got to tell you, man, I've been doing this for a long time, and I never had to worry about an engineer or anything like that. But now, when you have to do your own and run your own board, dude, it is a nightmare, man. But I'm so glad that you were able to call in. So real quick, for the people listening, so you're here back on Scoop Slam. Yes, we got Tom Erickson on the line. It took me a minute, but we finally did. So, Mike, you know, Tom, it's funny because I was telling Mike before you came on that since I worked for Tap Out and Sinister and On the Mat, I've always went to Tom to talk to him because he's always, you know, honest and it legitimizes the show. So now that I'm with Mike on Scoop Slam, I said, hey, we got to get Tom Erickson on because, you know, that'll legitimize your show. So real quick, Michael Parks, who's been my buddy for over 20 years or whatever, say hi to Tom Erickson real quick.
Hello again, Tom. We spoke when we were on WrestleBoss a while back.
Yeah.
We had you on the show.
Okay.
And I met you then. Yeah, I met you then.
Okay.
So hello again, sir. We appreciate you coming on tonight.
No, I appreciate you guys having me on.
It's funny. I got to tell you, there's so much I want to talk about because I want to talk about, you know, the NCAA wrestling and everything like that. But I'm getting Mike more acclimated to some of the old Pride and UFC and things of that nature. So I was cleaning out the garage, and I don't know if I'm the only one that has a DVD player, but I was looking through some Pride tapes, and the first one that I put in popped up when you fought Tim Cataldo. And I was telling
Mike, oh, no.
That dude was a big dude, you know, and I thought, but I go, we need to call Tom the smooth operator because it seems like what's the word I'm looking for you? Like your mindset, like you always stay cool under pressure. You know what I mean? Even though he was throwing these big, heavy haymakers and stuff, you kept it in tight. Once you got a hold of him and got him to the ground, you know, you did what you need to do. So I want to talk a little bit about NCAA wrestling stuff real quick since Mike is here with us. Can you talk a little bit about that fight? I mean, it was a while back, but that's what it seemed like to me. Like, you just stayed cool, and then once you got a hold of him, that was it.
Well, I mean, that was a good matchup for me. I mean, you know, when anytime I would fight a wrestler, so to speak, you know, there's a saying, basically, you have, you know, when all else, when talent is relatively equal, size matters. You know, and I'm not saying Tim was equal to me or I was equal to Tim, but, you know, I just kind of felt, okay, I want to take care of this. And, you know, no disrespect to Tim, but, look, I wanted to get him out of there.
Yeah. But, you know, it's, how can I say this? Like, you take somebody like Ronda or whatever, because now you got Kayla Harrison, who's just getting ready to make her UFC debut. And to me, especially when Ronda first started, she closed that distance, and once she got a hold of you, that was it. But then I don't know what happened to where they even like a Yoel Romero, you know, Olympic champion, you know, from Cuba, who is like a, you know, you see that dude and it's like, man, he's like a miracle of modern science or whatever. And it seems like that would be the protocol. Hey, man, close that distance, get him down, take him out. But for some reason, they want to stand and bang. Do you think? I mean, I don't know. Is that like they feel that knockout power and they want to keep? They like that feeling or something, or because you don't really see that anymore. They just close that distance and get them down.
Well, I don't know. One of the things I think that hurt me in my career, well, besides not fighting regularly, whatever, is I started learning how to strike. You know, my base technique was wrestling, and then you kind of sprinkled in some jiu-jitsu and striking. Well, to be really, you know, when you start striking and all of a sudden, as big as a person that I am, you start knocking people out. You start hurting people. I mean, I didn't have the greatest strikes early in my career. I got better. But, you know, you start knocking people out. It's a little addictive. It's like, man, I don't have to go this whole time and fight for 5-10 minutes. I can just knock a guy out. I mean, you got to remember, they can say this and that and that thing. Couple neat things that I think are special in my career. One is I fought a 40-minute fight, which is one of the top 5, top 10 longest fights in MMA.
Yeah.
I think Sakuraba's got one with Hoist that they fought an hour or whatever. But I got a 40-minute fight on my resume.
Yeah.
You know, when I fought Murillo, that was a 40-minute fight. And then the other neat, pretty cool thing was fighting in front of 50-some thousand in the Tokyo Dome. That was pretty cool, too, against Matt Skelto. So that was some fun stuff.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, because we had guys like Sean Sherk on, and, you know, we were talking a little about it, about how it's become a business, you know, and he kind of made some good points. He goes, you know, when I was fighting, he goes, I only had one loss, and that loss was to Matt Hughes. He goes, and I got cut. He goes, nowadays, these guys, 4 or 5 losses, they keep going. He goes, so I think they have to have a lot more content for these programs and the ESPN Plus and stuff like that, so it's turned more into a business. Do you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, it's the Conor McGregor effect, man. Are you kidding? Yeah, you know, Diaz and Conor McGregor, they showed this next generation, hopefully the fighters, look, you got to be able to promote yourself, man. You got to get those clicks. You got to get those likes. And then, oh, by the way, you got to win a little bit. You know, you can't just go and get your ass kicked. You got to be able to win. You got to be able to throw a punch. You got to be able to win. I mean, you got to be able to fight a little bit. And, oh, by the way, you got to have that content. You got to be able to cut a good promo. You got to be able to get some eyeballs on that thing because that's where the big money is. And Connor's proven that. Look, is that guy been? Tell me the quality fights he knocked out Askren really quick. Come on, I mean that wasn't not Askren, but I mean some of his fights are like, oh, that was Diaz. You look at some of these guys, it's just like, really, you haven't fought anybody.
Yeah.
But you still talk about like you fought somebody.
And it makes a lot of sense because, like, I'm talking to my – well, you know, I had Ed Soares on too. He's over at LFA, and I worked for him for a little while. And I told him, I said, you know, don't you think that it's – because they used to be on Access TV. So I used to just turn on Access TV, and I'd see these fighters, and you kind of see, for lack of a better term, it was like a feeder system for the UFC. So they get that exposure. I said, but I'm old. I don't know how to do apps and all. That's what I have kids for. Hey, can you give me this app or whatever? So for older guys like me, it seems like they get more exposure there. And he's like, hey, Fabi, you got to get to the times, man. You know, that's what it's all about now, apps. And, you know, we can put it on and then you can watch it at any time and all that stuff. So I guess, you know, it's the progression of the sport of MMA, which, you know, I'm old. So that's why I have guys like Tom Anderson on. I think he can relate a little bit
hey,
to
I'm,
dark.
I'm with you, too, on age. You know, I'll tell you, we get a little bit of that now in college wrestling. And over the last couple of years of what they have with the NIL, you know, the name, image, and likeness, it's coming down to the clicks. You know, how many clicks do you get? Do you have a good following? You know, being here, I'm at Duke now, and we have, you know, a collective and stuff like that. We're not, you know, wrestling isn't involved in that, but they do a blanket kind of orientation for, hey, look, you know, this is what we're looking for. You got to have some clicks. You got to understand the rules of blah, blah, blah. But look, I think wrestling wise, we're starting to go down that road. Look at Iowa. How many guys on their team that on their roster this year were transfers in with NIL? Oklahoma State's starting to do a little bit of that. Penn State, you know, that Truax, where did he come from? Messenbrink, where did he come? He came from Cal Baptist. Truax came from Cal Poly. You know, they're bringing guys in, you know, and there's money there. Michigan had 5 guys on their roster. They got themselves a trophy just by bringing guys in, transferring in.
And you know, speaking of that, I pay close to $200 a month in cable because I have to have, you know, the Big Ten Network, and with that comes the ACC and the SEC Network, so that I could watch, you know, all the wrestling when it comes on. You know what I mean? And people tell me, dude, just get the app. And you know, so, but that's why I pay so much in cable, because I want to see it. And just like, you know, I took Friday off so I could see, you know, on ESPN, they had all the wrestling on when they got to the NCAA final. So real quick, speaking of that, talking about, you know, the NCAA and Duke University and Tom putting his time in there, you want to talk about progression. You know, this is how lame I am. I'm watching, and all of a sudden they're giving 3 points for the takedown, and I'm like, what the heck's going on here? I didn't even know that they moved it up to 3 points for a takedown. Now, that was great. I mean, you really got to hustle. You know, if you can get that extra point or whatever, that could be the match. So that really made it progress and move a little bit more. But then, you know, when I was watching the finals, there was so many times when they were throwing in the brick and stopping the action. There was one match that it almost took almost, I want to say, 25 minutes because it kept, you know, reviewing.
22 minutes with Vic and Arugia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts on that. I mean, is it kind of hurting it to slow it down like that, or?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, wrestling, like any other sport, has momentum. You know, there's an energy level about a match, a contest, et cetera. And when you stop energy, you stop me from when I'm in my groove and have to let me sit there and think about it. He gets to think about it. Oh, and by the way, you notice they're both getting coached up the whole time talking about this, that, and another thing. And then, you know, the guy that if they do reverse the call, you got to go back out there and kind of figure out a way to kind of make up something when they just stole it from you. Yeah. And, you know, it may have been legit change, but you still feel it was stolen from you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough. I think, I would hope they're going to take a look at that. You know, you hear about it in football, how many times, you know, you change the momentum, et cetera, et cetera. Look, there's got to be a limit. Look, we got to take a peek at it. Let's got to figure out, let's make it a neutral. Look, somebody takes a quick peek at it, boom, a neutral party takes a peek at it. You know, as a coach, I don't like to see an official go out there and look at his own quote-unquote mistake. Dude, he's not. How many officials do you know? How many people in authority you know are going to tell you they did it wrong?
Right. That, see,
they
that
throw the brick
sense.
At me. No, you were wrong here. I mean,
yeah,
unless it's blatantly obvious, they're gonna come out. No, I don't. I still don't see it. They're not going to admit they're wrong. Nobody's going to admit they're wrong.
Yeah.
And you know, unless it's just really blatant, like, oh damn, you really messed that up. But, you know, basically, who's going to admit that? We've had some flurries. You watched a couple where you listen to the announcers. You listen to DC and Jordan Burroughs talk about, well, I still didn't see that, you know. They still didn't see a call that should have been overturned, even though they looked at it and didn't agree with it. So, look, let's just keep the referee in it.
Go ahead, Mike. You want to say something? Go for it.
What do you think? Do you think that was a takedown? Because he did get control of that of his outside ankle, just for a brief moment. Just for a brief moment, he did pick that ankle. So
here's the magic words they're going to drop on you: beyond reaction time.
Yeah,
beyond reaction time. that, you know, that they've got, it's got to be beyond reaction time. There was a point in time a short year ago, even maybe two, that I touch a fingernail. A hair on the back of my knuckle touches the mat. Boom, it's two. It's for sure. That's, you know, but now it's got to be beyond reaction time. He's got to get there, secure it beyond the reaction time. Think of Abu Dhabi rules. You know, one of the things in Abu Dhabi, when you pass guard, you had to hold it for 2 seconds before the guy scrambled back in. That's beyond reaction time. Okay, I passed. Okay, well, he just slips right back into guard. I mean, I only speak of that because I've competed in Abu Dhabi twice, and that was one of the rules. Well, I could pass, but those guys are so sneaky, they slide hips in and catch the leg again, you know, beyond reaction time. Well, what's reaction time? So now it comes back into judgment. A referee's going to say, no, it wasn't beyond reaction time. It should have been a second and a half, not just a second. So there's also a way to cover themselves.
Yeah, well,
would you have thrown the brick on that call?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to throw the brick.
Yeah.
Okay. And here we are complaining that it takes forever and forever and forever. If I've got a brick to throw, I'm hitting somebody with the damn thing. Yeah. Just so they know that I can get it.
Well,
now, here's the other thing. Here's the other thing about the brick. They don't necessarily tell you. The brick, once you throw the brick, they don't necessarily stop the action right away. They let the action play till a stalemate, till there is no action, so to speak. So in the process of throwing that brick, you may be looking at, you know, throwing the brick, appealing to one situation. But if another one comes up, they will score that as well. So you can, you've got to keep wrestling past the brick. Once your guy, you know, you see the brick come in, you got to keep wrestling. Because if you don't, okay, he didn't get a takedown, then he switches you or something, like reverses you, so to speak. Okay, no takedown, but he scored a takedown. Instead of it being a takedown, a three-point takedown and a two-point reversal, it would be just a three-point takedown him because he reversed the position. So, I mean, you gotta be careful when you do that and make sure you tell your guys, and your guys clearly understand. You got to wrestle through the brick. You see me throw the brick, we want a brick to come in, you have to wrestle through it, because they won't just, until the action stops or stalemates, they're not going to just stop it right when your situation is scored. They're going to keep scoring the match, so to speak. The match, in theory, continues past when the part you're actually throwing a brick on protesting, the action continues past what you're protesting, the situation you're protesting.
Yeah.
So wrestle through till you hear the whistle.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Is what you're saying.
And then a few seconds after that.
Well, I got you.
You see, Mike,
we tell our guys, wrestle through the whistle. Don't wrestle to the whistle. Wrestle through the whistle. Look, unless I don't mean get cheap shot and stuff like that, but and you hear the whistle, make sure you clearly hear the whistle. And then if you're not sure, wait till a hand touches you. There's usually a guy come in, I'll tap you, hey, stop the action or something like that. Because, you know, guys will sneak you at the whistle, man. They know the clock's coming down. They'll try to sneak a takedown late. They'll try to do something. Look at the 184-pound match. I'll tell you what, that was the smartest match I've seen. Two matches that impressed me, 149 with Henson, and then 184 with Kickenheisen. Man,
yes.
Did you see how he worked the edge? Kept his toe in there, was working for his finish, scored. He's sitting there. He waits for the referee to start making the count, the drop-down count. He pulls his foot out of bounds at about four, so he steals 4 seconds on the right time. Dude, that guy was so smart. I'm sitting there watching this guy. I'm like, dude, that's a coach on the mat. That guy really has a good grasp of what he wants to do out there. That was impressive.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But see, that's why, Mike, why we have somebody like Tom Erickson on, to talk about stuff like that and wrestle through all the way through the whistle or until they tap you back or whatever. Because yeah, it's true. Somebody stops. That's it. You know, so it does make a lot of sense. But, you know, I got to tell you too, Tom, that, you know, UFC 300 is coming up, and it takes a lot for me because, you know, the pay-per-views are like $80 now. So it takes a lot for me to spend my hard-earned money. But when you have a card like this with like a Kayla Harrison, who's an Olympic judo champion, and then you got Bo Nickel, people like that, that's what I want to see. I want to see those people who can close that distance and take them down and see if that's what they're going to do or if they're going to start swinging or whatever. Because just like Bo Nickel, he hit the, I think it was the second or third fight in the UFC, he hit somebody with a right hand, knocked him smooth out. So I'm like, okay, well, is he gonna try to do that on the next one, or is he gonna stick to what he knows and try to get him down and you know, work from the top or whatever? Well, you, Tom, if you're coaching, okay, let's say, you know, it's the off season or whatever, says, hey, look, man, I just need your help coaching me for a little while. Talk about that. Is that what you would tell him? Hey, man, let's close the distance. Let's try to not take too much fun and get him to the ground. Or what would your advice be?
That's pretty funny because I remember when Curtis Blaydes started fighting. Curtis Razor Blaydes started fighting a heavyweight. I said, let me tell you something. Don't ever forget your base. You need to learn these other skills. You need to learn jiu-jitsu. You need to understand the mechanics of jiu-jitsu. Whether you become a, you know, whatever within there, but you have to understand the mechanics of jiu-jitsu and the positioning. You have to understand the striking. But don't ever forget your wrestling base, because when all else fails, when you're getting pounded, you're getting whatever, your wrestling can save you in terms of controlling your opponent. That's what we do. I mean, that's our one advantage on the elite level, college level, world-class level wrestlers can control their opponent. And with an understanding of some jiu-jitsu, the mechanics of jiu-jitsu, and then your striking, your distances and things like that, your wrestling saves you. Don't ever forget that. And I kind of tell them my story about me, man. I said, I learned how to strike a little bit, and I'm not going to claim I'm anything special. And then you start kind of buying it. Dude, it's pretty intoxicating to knock somebody out. I mean, you're like, you look at your hand, you're like, oh, yeah, I can do that. Uh-oh, I want to do that more. And by the way, I hearken back to a good friend of mine, Gary Goodrich, you know, anything past one round is unpaid overtime. You start applying some crazy thoughts in your head, like, man, that feels good.
Yeah,
it looks good. People get scared of you. And then, oh, by the way, you have the chance to get paid a lot more money for knocking a guy out if you have that in your contract, some knockout bonus or fight of the night bonus. So, yeah, you kind of like that. I told Curtis, I said, don't forget your base. Learn your striking and your transitions. Understand the mechanics of jiu-jitsu, what they're doing. I was really fortunate early in my career, and I fought one of the better guys. I fought Murillo, and I fought Fabricio Verdun. You know, draw was one, loss was one. But just the mechanics of being in a ring with somebody that's that skilled and just sucking up that knowledge. Man, wow, he's going here. He's trying to here. He's trying to arm bar here. He's trying to here. Watch his hips move. Where's he going with his hips? Why is he coming back up? Why is he – oh, he's setting up a triangle. Understanding where the mechanics of why his hips are moving and getting a good working knowledge of that. And then apply your wrestling skill. Boom. One of the things, guys, I like some of those matchups because I was big enough and I can control their ties. I can control them on the bottom. I understood when I'm in trouble. You know, come back, defend a position. You know, us back early days when wrestlers thought they knew what they're doing, everybody was getting armbarred left and right. Kenny Money, Kevin Jackson, Roy Salazar, everybody got the armbar. Well, everybody's backing up, pulling out of positions, leaving their arms out there and get snapped off. Man, go back there, defend it, cover the position, make them carry the weight, smother the person, use your wrestling knowledge to do that. And then know your spacing. Look, when I get close, I can control a guy. I want some space. That's where I better be on my P's and Q's with my striking, or at least anticipate it.
Right.
So, you know, like for me, like Bo, I'll tell you what, I was so impressed when Bo did his exhibition grappling match with Roger. Man, he just looked so good. He understood what he understood what he didn't know. And that's a big, big plus. It's not going in there trying something because you don't know. He understood he doesn't know. So I'm not going to play that. Don't know how to play that game the way you do. But I can play this game.
Well, maybe I'm biased because of the wrestling. Well, when we first moved over to On the Mat, went to two seminars in my life. One was Jeff Munson, which when I first Scotty was like, hey, Jeff Munson's a sponsored fighter of mine. He's going to have a seminar. I'm going to send you guys down there to cover it. First of all, I went, oh, my God. He looked like, you know, just looking at him like this guy's going to kill somebody. But he was such a nice guy, and he was so helpful. Yeah. And then the other one was Randy Couture when he opened his gym in Vegas. And, well, the one thing I got from that, Randy was showing all kinds of stuff, but he said, you know what, I can show you everything. He said, but if you're tired, regardless of how much I show you, if you're tired and can't breathe and can't move, he's going to own you. or whatever. So I for some reason, I guess that's why I have that biasness or whatever, because it just seems to me like there's no substitute for the grind the wrestler goes through, you know, because they're always in tournaments. It's not just one match. You're doing tournaments and, you know, since high school or whatever. So me personally, I just think it's the greatest sport in the world. I really do. And then when we have somebody on like Tom Erickson to talk a little bit about like that, hey, man, you got to wrestle all the way through past the whistle and stuff like that. It just solidifies that, you know, just that much more. But anyways, Tom, I'm sorry, I'm running up against the clock, but I got to tell you, it's like, I don't know if you were listening to the show earlier, but that's what I was telling Mike. When you get somebody like Tom Erickson on, that legitimizes the show, you know, and as you can see, just the knowledge that he dropped or all that. Mike, any last questions for Tom before we let him go?
Well, you know, we're going to have to do another show, because I would love to talk to you about the teams, the wrestling teams in the ACC. You know, I'm looking at the top 10 teams, and I'm Virginia Tech's number 7. And how strong are they, and how far are you, Tech, for that ACC?
In terms of Duke, in terms of the ACC, look, I coach in it, so I'm going to sound biased, and I am. But the ACC, look, NC State didn't have a very good tournament. They didn't choke per se, but they didn't have a good tournament. They were favored to trophy. You know, they were favored as a top five team. They won our conference. You know, regular season dual meets and, you know, the ACC tournament. Virginia Tech, very tough. I mean, you got two national champions. You have Mekhi, who was a champ in 21-22, and now you have with Henson. But you they've got some outstanding people. And then, oh, by the way, you got North Carolina in a transition year. Virginia was down, but yet they still had a couple All-Americans. You know, these guys are all funded teams. Now, where we're at, we fight a little different battle. We're an academic institution. We don't have scholarships. Everybody in the ACC has 9.9 except us. We pay full tuition. We're need based, so it makes it a little tougher. You know, I mean, my boss Glenn Lanham, I think he's one of the hardest working guys in knowing the system and getting people in. And I could sit there and give you a song and dance and whine about, okay, we could have got this guy. They denied us getting access in, and you know, it's tougher. It's we are an Olympic sport. We're not a fully funded sport, so there's a little different criteria. So our academics are going to be right spot on. You know, we had a 3.65 GPA. Our GPA was 3.65, so we were one of the top five GPA teams in the country. Okay, great. Jeez. Well, you know, for us, we got to find the guys that want to get that great education and then wrestle. You know, a lot of the fun numbers, you know, we're going to graduate 95%+. Of people that come into our program, we're probably more like 97, 98, but I'll say 95 to be safe. And here's another fun stat. So you come into Duke, you graduate through Duke. Within 6 months of graduating from Duke University, if you choose to go into the workforce, there is an 85% chance you're making six figures. So, you know, coming to Duke is a global brand. You know, there's a lot of other schools. They're very good schools, but we're in that elite handful. You're talking about Stanford. You're talking about Princeton. You're talking about, you know, some of these others, Cornell's, the Ivies, and some of those other stuff. Look, we're in that elite group that comes out there. Now, can it be done? Yes. This is the first year in like 13 years we didn't send a guy to the national tournament. And that stinks. We take it personal. So we're, you know, we got to step it up. We're doing things, evaluating, kind of making some adjustments, have some meetings and things like that. We've already had several over the last week of what we need to do and change up. But, you know, don't sleep on the ACC. And, oh, by the way, we just added one team. I know we had, three of them. We brought three of them into the ACC, but we brought in one little salty little team from Stanford coming to the ACC. They're an academic fit for us perfectly, and their wrestling is top-notch. So now instead of six teams, we have seven strong teams in the ACT. Well, six and a half. We've got to step up ourselves. We won't get that full vote until we step up. But we've got six and a half teams in the ACC that can wrestle with the best of them.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's true, like you say, Yeah, we're going to have to get him back on so we can get all those questions in, because unfortunately I'm running up against the clock. But Tom Erickson, man, a million thank yous for coming on. For the people listening, just follow him on his social media. He's got a grandchild on the way. I'm sure there's going to be tons of pictures and stuff as soon as all that comes to fruition. But a million thank yous for coming
April
on, Tom, and we appreciate it.
All right, man. Anytime, man. I appreciate the opportunity to sit there and to shoot the bull with you, man. I enjoy it. The more that we can get out there and get people educated about the two great sports, wrestling and MMA, I'm all for it.
Yeah, definitely. And we appreciate it here, man. But definitely we'll have you back on for sure, because we've got a lot of more stuff that we want to talk to you about. But for the people listening, make sure you check out Tom Erickson on all his social media and, of course, Duke University. We'll talk to you soon. All right, my man?
All right.
Thank you, man.
Take care. You guys have a great evening.
All right. We'll be right back after this. Hang on, everybody.
Soundstripe.
I get it. You know, Anthony Wagner said my phone's blowing up, my watch, everything's blowing up. He's like, bro, should I call in? Should I call in? And I'm like, hold on a second. And then I go, because I don't have his phone number. I just have the instant messenger, and it comes up with this thing, put your PIN number in, let's do this. Let's do that. So I'm trying to do all that, and I'm trying to listen to Tom at the same time, because he's got so much going on. You know what I'm saying? Hey, but it's true, like you say, man, we got to get him back on, because when you have somebody like Tom Erickson on, there's so much to talk about. You kind of get what I'm saying, right, Mike?
Oh, yeah. You know, I apologize for having him go over time, but, you know, he just came back from the NCAA finals. So,
yeah.
You know, being able to have him talk about wrestling against VaTech and the other big schools, yeah, that's something, you know, I want him to be able to talk about.
Yeah, with just dropping that type of knowledge, because, I didn't think about that. You know, like, you don't stop just because somebody threw in the brick. You know what I mean? You
right,
keep
right,
wrestling
right.
Until you hear that whistle or you get tapped on your back or whatever. But that's just, you know, like they say, Mike, there's no substitute for experience. So for Tom Erickson, this is for you, buddy.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting how long that is. Hey, but when it's for him, we got to give it. And then this one's for Mike. that's Mike when we're at the meeting and he sees those ladies that come in to hear that. He's like, hey, woo, what's going on? But hold on a second.
Well, for
the people listening, you're here. You're at Scoop Slam Radio, and we're getting ready to do the pro wrestling news with my man Michael Parks. But on the line with us right now, Anthony Wagner, is that you, my man?
No, this is Nathan Noss.
Oh, Nathan Noss, what's up, man? You know, we had Nathan Noss when Jessica 1000% knockout Nicolette Marie, they got a hold of her and said, hey, why don't you come on the show so we could talk a little bit of wrestling and all that. And she actually told me, she said, hey, you know, I honestly had a good time, you know, just talking about wrestling and stuff like that and talking about the behind the scenes and stuff. So I said, well, let me call either Anthony or Nathan Noss so we can have them sit in on the news, because I got to tell you, Nathan, I am very, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, I get a lot of slack for talking mess about the WWE or whatever, but we're going to get into the news right now. But Mike, before we since we got Nathan on the line with us, this is what happened. I'm always bagging on the WWE. I'm like, oh, you know, it should be New Japan. New Japan's the one that has the real wrestling. You got, you know, Will Ospreay against Marty Scurll was the best match I've ever seen. And WWE is just characters and, you know, everybody has to be these different names. So somebody called me on it one time. They said, look, man, if WWE called you tomorrow and said, hey, bro, we need you for a manager, you know, would you come down? And I'm like, yeah, man, I'd be on the next plane to Stanford. So, you know, they get a bad rap. But, you know, I'll be there. I mean, that's why everybody's in line. You know what I mean? That's where everybody wants to be. So before we get into the news with Michael Parks, first of all, Mike, say hi to Nathan and give me your thoughts on that sense.
What's going on, Nathan? Good to meet you, man.
Good to meet you, too.
And what do you think? Am I okay? Well, let's take it around the horn before Mike gets to the news and talks about Ronda, who nobody cares about. No, not really, Mike. But we'll start with our guest, Nathan. Give me your thoughts on that. I think New Japan is the greatest wrestling organization since sliced bread. I mean, they're strong style, and you got people, you know, even though they're starting to lose, like Okada went to AEW and stuff like that, I still think that's top of the food chain. Also, Nathan, because I've been to both the live shows, well, Mike too, we went to the live shows that were here in Long Beach when they came to Long Beach State, when they came to the Pyramid, and those matches were, I mean, they were awesome. So real quick, Nathan, first of all, give me your thoughts on that and tell us between AEW, New Japan, WWE or whatever, which one do you think stands out the most or which is the one you like the best?
Well, I'd have to agree with you that New Japan's probably the best. It just doesn't get seen a lot. I think story-wise, they have the best, you know, continuity between their stories as far as being able to understand it. And it doesn't matter if they lose some of their bigger guys because it's like the next one steps up. You don't see that a lot in AEW or WWE.
Right.
Because everybody's right. Fighting for the same spot.
Yeah. And, Mike, it seems like to me in AEW, before you even get a chance to start getting happy that somebody's there, somebody else comes in. Because, like, it was Andrade, and then somebody else came after him, and then Bryan Danielson, and then now it's Mercedes Moné. It's just they just keep coming, like, is it me or they come too fast? You don't even get time to kind of like enjoy the storyline or what, Mike?
Well, I don't see too many storylines in AEW. I just see Tony Khan making the matches that he thinks the fans want to see.
Right.
You know, I really don't know what he's trying to do, to be quite honest. I know. I'm being dead honest. It's like, dude, you have so much talent.
Yeah.
That you, Ring of Honor can be great if you just put a little bit of effort into,
yes,
to doing it right over there.
Yep.
You know, I've said this all the time. You have these two shows, three shows, four shows that mm-hmm. you can't get right, and I don't know. They just hired a new COO, but I don't know if somebody needs to tell Tony, you really don't know that much about pro wrestling. You should let somebody in the business that's been in the business, you know, be around you and talk to you about this because you're not doing this shit right. I'm sorry for cussing, but damn, it's getting to the point where, you know, I'd rather watch TNA.
Right.
Than AEW.
Well, real quick, we'll take this to our guest, Nathan Noss. When I was at WrestleCon, because it was here last year, and I had Christopher Daniels on the podcast, and we were talking, and, you know, he's an agent back there. And if there's anybody who knows this business, who's been, and Mike can attest to it, because Christopher Daniels was working at All Nations in East L.A. when mm-hmm. he was coming. Spoke no Spanish, but he could care less. You know what I mean? And he said, "Hey, you know, I can only do so much. I could tell him, hey, look, man, this guy would work perfect with this guy, blah blah blah, whatever. But Tony Khan is the final say so, just like Vince. So, Nathan, you think that's kind of killing it, or do you think, well, look, man, I can't let the inmates run the asylum, so I gotta kind of put a leash on it or whatever. Give me your thoughts on that."
Well, I think Tony Khan needs to stop acting like he's playing WWE 2K24 and try to put what matches he wants to see, like, you know, on the TV. we don't, it's like Baskin Robbins, right? You don't even always need the flavor of the month to make the fans like stand up and pay attention. They're going to pay attention to what's in the ring, not the next guy
exactly.
You can bring up and pay the money to.
Yeah. Sorry.
I
think this is Tony Khan.
That is very
true. Sorry, bro. On air. Right now. Well, you know, here's the thing, Mike. I'm sorry. I know you want to get to your news or whatever, but sometimes
no,
I'm like, you know what?
I'm
not even going to waste my time, JEW. But the other day, they had Takeshita against Rocky Romero. And I thought, oh, dude, he's just going to squash him. But it ended up being a really good match. You know, and then you had Okada against Eddie Kingston. And I'm always saying, I don't get Eddie Kingston. Dude, that was a good match. I think when you have a specific dance partner, that brings out more in you. So, I mean, all the other crap in between was whack. But just that, you know, Okada against Eddie Kingston, and then we had Takeshita against Rocky Romero. That was like, bro, that's what I want to see. So we'll go back to Mike. You think that he has so much talent that he can only put a couple of certain matches that kick butt or whatever? Or because you start to see a lot of squash matches in AEW.
Yeah, and that's, again, that's like, why even put some of these matches on TV, honestly? I mean, it's gotten to the point where I used to look forward to Wednesday nights and watching AEW, and now,
yeah.
Bro, it's like I'll flip to it, and if they have something that catches my eye, I'll watch it. If not, I mean, what are they gonna do? Brody King ought to be on his own, bro.
I agree.
They ought to let
scary dude.
Let him loose. They ought to let him loose.
Yeah,
and let him do his thing.
He can go with the lucha or whatever. But real quick, we'll ask our guests here. First of all, Nathan Nass, tell me a little bit about that. You think, well, I don't particularly like squash matches. I think it adds, like, okay, it's kind of like if you're an MMA fighter. Okay, if you fight a bunch of people that you know you can beat, who cares? But you go fight somebody like Conor McGregor and you knock him out, then it's like, dude, you're legit. So I don't particularly like, and even in New Japan, you don't see squash matches in New Japan. Everybody has a certain amount of wins and losses. I don't like that whole, well, he's gone 48 days and undefeated or whatever. I just think it doesn't make any sense. So real quick, Nathan, give me your thoughts on that as far as AEW with all the talent that they have. Are they misusing it or the relevancy of squash matches? I mean, because to me, I don't think that enhances the talent at all. Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I think they just have too much talent. They have four shows, but there's just so much there. You can't, you know, even with those four shows, you can't put everybody on. That's why
right.
I think missing the YouTube shows, like Dark and Elevation, kind of hurt them because at least you can put more people on there. As far as squash matches, it takes away from the story. You know what I mean? You can't really tell a dance, you know, story. Like, I've always thought wrestling is like a dance, you know what I mean, if it's done right. You know what I mean? You get lost in the story of them going back and forth. If you have a squash match that lasts, like, a minute, minute and a half, 30 seconds, whatever, if you go back to Goldberg, where's that dance?
Yeah. Because you, like, I forget who it was the other day, and they wrestled against the Butcher. And I go, dude, you know who's going over. I mean, there's no, unless they're going to run this angle where it's the complete underdog or whatever, it's like, well, why even watch it? You know who's going to go over. But if he's going against somebody who, you know, there's a slight thing in your mind and go, well, dude, this guy could win. Just like Eddie Kingston against Okada. I mean, I thought, well, dude, I was kind of intrigued. I said, well, Eddie's a champ. Are they going to let him go over on Okada? But, you know, Okada's the man. So it kind of makes you interested, you know? So to me, go ahead.
But let me ask you both, honestly.
Go for it.
Because, again, we keep talking about storyline. Tell me a story that A&E is trying to tell. Give me an example of a storyline that they're trying to tell. Because you had one where it was Swerve, Strickland and Joe, and then there's Adam Page, and that's a hot mess.
Yes.
You know, I think Adam Page should be out of it, but please tell me, where are they trying to tell a story? Because I don't see it.
Yeah, you
I
have to pose that question
matches.
To make this. Yeah, because I have no idea.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, because I just see matches. Go ahead.
And I do too. Here's the thing. The only story I see is the one that the Young Bucks are trying to push on, which, by the way, to me is falling flat out of his face. And we all know their EVPs, having them be cocky and stuff just doesn't work for them unless they're like the cool cocky like they were before. And as far as Joe, I agree with you. I think Joe's being the third man out in that, and he's the champion. So why is he being like left to the sideline?
It doesn't make no sense. Dude, but Mike, when we talk about these pay-per-views, you know, and we talk about this a lot, they're expensive. So it takes a lot for me to buy the pay-per-view. Like when I saw Will Ospreay was going to be on there, I said, dude, I got to get that. Because, you know, especially him against Takeshita, that's going to blow the roof off this place. So I'll buy it. So now, like, they started to give Takeshita a little bit of push and put him against Joe. Dude, I would definitely buy the pay-per-view just to see that hard-hitting match, right?
Yeah, but you know what actually sucks is even if they brought Marty Scurll in, who was I going to put him with?
What are you Ospreay every night.
What are you going to do with him?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Good point.
What
do you think? Let's pose that to our guests. If they brought in somebody like Marty Scurll, who had an amazing match with Will Ospreay that we got to see in New Japan, I mean, who would they put him with, even though they have all that down?
Well, I mean, he would get so misused in AEW. Look what Brian Danielson, right? Danielson's in the Blackpool Combat Club, but you never see him. What, he's being promoted for this match with Ospreay, but when's the last time they really pushed him up to make him look like a credible opponent for Ospreay? Sure, he's got the pedigree from his history, but they're not doing anything to build that story. So if you brought Marty Scurll in, it would be the same thing. Great wrestler, great talent, can probably kill it anywhere, but he would get buried in AEW.
It's making me gnash my teeth. Go ahead,
That sucks because, you know, you could put him over there in ROH and put Cesaro over there in ROH and have them start a storyline, and they could blow the roof off the building every night.
Yeah.
With those two, but you won't. It's not going to happen.
I don't think
Tony Khan knows what he's doing.
Well, real quick, I got to take a break because I have to reset real quick. But I think the talent is there, and I think the people that they have behind the scenes can really put together some good matches. But when you have one person who has the final say, so it doesn't really matter because it's all about, you know, reset. We'll be right back with myself, Michael Parks, talking a little pro wrestling with Nathan Noss. We'll be right back. Hang on, everybody. Don't go anywhere.
Sounds Drive.
What?
I mean, that sounds like, you know, that sounds like a theme song for some woman from Shimmer coming out to wrestle. You know that, right?
you're gonna make me cough, dude. Hold on. I'm sorry. I have to do that because, you know, we start talking Tony Khan. I just want to do this. Tony, let Christopher Daniels and them have some say so, and just.
I mean, something's got to give, bro.
real quick for the people listening to us, you're here, you're at Scoop Slam Radio. Don't forget, you can check us out every Tuesday. We had Tom Erickson on talking for the MMA segment. And, of course, don't forget onthemat.com and myluckygi.com. I'm going to do a quick service announcement. Phil, send the stuff, dude. We need the gear. And we got our man Nathan Noss here to talk a little bit about what's happening in AEW. But, Mike, I would like to switch gears because I would really like to get your opinion and Nathan's opinion on this, because you want to talk about underrated. I hardly watch Raw because I'm just like, I worse than ever. But for some reason, now that The Rock is back, it's like, well, you want to kind of want to see what's happening. But I got to tell you, and I want to get both your thoughts on this. I think that they're missing the boat with this Bronson Reed. Dude, he hit Sami Zayn with the senton. I was like, I thought he killed him. And then finished him off with the splash. I was like, dude, why are they not pushing? I mean, they could even team him with somebody to go against the Bloodline. And I think that would, you know, legitimately be, well, I don't know, because I think they got Tama Tonga in the background that might be coming in pretty soon. But that Bronson Reed out there, and you put that splash, it looked like when AJ splashed Jimmy Mayhem at the last show. So
right.
Real quick, we'll start with our guest. Tell me what you think, Nathan. I think that Bronson Reed is very underrated, and I think he could be one of the people to get him to the promised land. What do you think?
Well, it goes back to the last segment we had when we talked about New Japan. Bronson Reed did a great job when he was in New Japan building himself up to that. And, like, I think WWE needs to capitalize on that, right? Maybe let him lead his faction like he did in New Japan. Or
yeah.
Here's one out of left field. Chad Gable's doing his own thing with Sami Zayn right now. Why don't you team him up with Otis and give Otis maybe a serious side that he hasn't had before? And let them dominate as a big man tag team.
Oh.
Dude, he hit the nail on the head. And don't get me started on Chad Gable, but go ahead, Mike.
Well, you know, the one thing I guess we haven't talked about is, you know, WrestleMania is what, next weekend, yeah?
Yep.
All the storylines that have built up are going to be climaxed at WrestleMania. So, you know, they're going to be bringing in new blood. They're going to be doing new stuff. And maybe they're going to start pushing some of the younger guys. You know what I mean? They need to.
Yeah.
Because I think what Triple H is doing right now is he's kind of turned back the clock a little bit. Because if you've been paying attention, they're trying to go back to the aggression,
right?
The ruthless aggression, especially now with the language, you know, and you know, Cody was bleeding last night.
Yeah.
You know, they used to didn't have blood because it was PG-13 or whatever.
Boring.
I think with what Triple H is trying to do, he's going to rev this back up, and I think he's about to get this machine going again and getting some of this fresh talent, because you still got to bring in Rick Steiner's son. What's his name?
Bronson.
That's down in NXT. Yeah.
Bron Breakker.
Oh,
sorry, I was still on Bronson Reed. Bron Breakker.
You know he's coming up, but they got to find something for him too. So,
yeah.
You know, it's going to be totally different after April 7th.
Bron Breakker.
We'll just have to see. Hell no.
Dude, I'm telling you, as we sit here and talk today, okay, I think Bronson Reed will get you. That guy is amazing. I mean, and plus, when he went to New Japan, he went over on Okada. So give him a break. But
yeah.
This is why I don't – well, I like Cody Rhodes, but I just don't like what happened to him. Because Nathan, when Mike and I went to go see New Japan – it was the first show that we went to that they had out here, and it was Cody Rhodes, and I can't remember who his tag team partner, but they wrestled the Gorillas of Destiny, and Cody Rhodes was a heel, and he played that role perfectly, and his wife, who was, you know, a part-time wrestler or whatever too, Mike, please tell Nathan, when they got Cody Rhodes down, and his wife, they were going to splash him, the Gorillas of Destiny. And his wife
and
covered
him.
She coming up, and they splashed right on top of her, and she took the splash like Bronson Reed gave Sami Zayn. And Mike and I stood up and went, I mean, where's my applause thing or whatever? I mean, we stood up and applauded. It was amazing, the bump that she took. And I thought, dude, that is genius. Make Cody Rhodes a heel. Bring his wife in. I don't know if she's still got something to do with AEW or whatever. And let them go. I mean, that Mike, am I wrong, my man?
No, I mean, no. I think Cody will turn heel, in the near future. But first, let's see if the feel good story is going to end properly the way it's supposed to. Let's see if he ends. You're so stupid.
Boring. I'll be like this.
What?
That's my favorite question. Hey, Cody Rhodes is going to go against Roman Reigns.
What?
I mean, how many times we got to see that crap? Nathan, you give me your thoughts. I think they should turn Cody Rhodes heel, bring his wife in because she adds a lot. She's one of the few managers that actually adds a lot to it, and I think he'd be much better off. What do you think?
I agree. I think they should bring Brandy in, and I think eventually they will turn Cody heel, maybe after WrestleMania, after he wins the title. Because I think Triple H, being a nostalgia guy, wants to give him that belt. But maybe he goes into it and says, this whole time I was fighting, the bloodline took this out of me, and maybe the fans didn't give me the love that I wanted.
Yeah.
Because let's be real, even when he's against like CM Punk, the fans turned to CM Punk, as a lot of people do. So maybe they play that type of angle up, and that's how they turn him heel and bring Brandy in as, the catalyst to it.
You see, Mike, this is why we have people like Nathan Nazan. I'm telling you, Nathan, if you would have seen that splash from Gorillas of Death, that I totally got the respect for Brandy after that, because the Samoans, they don't use no knees or elbows, dude. They splash you, and they took no mercy on her. And she took that splash.
No,
and Mike, didn't we think she was dead? But real quick, I'm sorry, because we're running up against the clock now. But to me, it just seems like when you or whatever New Japan or Pro Wrestling Noah or anything like that, you up your game. It just seems like it, because when they came, I mean, every match was just spot on. Even when Nicolette and I went to go see the last New Japan, when they had Mercedes Moné against, what's her name? What's the chubby girl's name that's in AEW?
I forget it. Yeah.
What's her name?
Willow Nightingale.
Dude, they put on a show until she blew her ankle out. But I mean, they went at it, and I thought Willow Nightingale was a joke, but she came to wrestle and they put on a show. So I think if you're going to Japan or wrestling in New Japan, that you just automatically up your game for some reason. Look at Daga, Mike. Daga's out there in pro wrestling. No, he's the junior heavyweight champ. Even the two sons of Dr. Wagner Jr., they're out there in Noah, and they're tearing it up. I mean, so I think you go out there, you get that experience, you come back, and then they just go, well, bro, this is what we got for you. So you go from wrestling, Daga for the belt to come back and wrestle Billy Berger for a squash match at a house show. You kind of get what I'm saying, Mike?
Yeah. You know what? I'm sitting here thinking, and I'm giggling to myself, because I'm like, if the American fans had a chance to see like Pro Wrestling Noah or the Crash, I don't know. We're so, I don't know, bred to American style wrestling that I don't know if we'd appreciate Pro Wrestling Noah, because I think Pro Wrestling Noah is almost on the same level as New Japan, but we just don't get to see it enough.
True.
You know what I mean?
And
the Crash is to be such a young Lucha organization is very innovative.
The matchups
and,
are
and they
ridiculous.
Have, oh, man, are totally ridiculous.
Well, real
totally
quick,
ridiculous.
Our guest, Nathan Noss, are you familiar with PWG, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla out here?
Yes, I am a little bit.
Well, dude, as much as I hate to admit it, because there's a couple of people that I got heat with over there, there is no denying that they put the matchups on that Mike and I talk a lot about, like Brody King against Black Darius, you know, people like that. So there is a market for it. You know what I'm saying? They just, you know, they just have to get it out there because they put some matches on that are just ridiculous. Or like the Crash. The Crash put Mustache Mountain against Mecha Wolf and Bestia. I mean, I would have never thought of that. And
that's crazy.
Yeah. When I saw it, I'm like, dude, who is the genius behind this? So it remains to be seen. I'm sorry. I'm running up against the clock. We got to get Nathan or Anthony and them or both of them at the same time. Get them back on. We'll just do a show on that because there's just so much to talk about. But the bottom line is, regardless of what you say, or me anyways, about WWE, those shows are packed. And whoever was the genius said, look, man, I don't know what happened with Vince, but we got to bring The Rock back to get these people back in here. Those SmackDowns are sold out all the way to WrestleMania. So there's no denying that they know what they're doing. So real quick, Nathan, give me your prediction for WrestleMania. Everybody keeps saying they think The Rock is going to turn and screw it up so that Roman actually loses the belt or whatever. Honestly, I could care less. But give me your thoughts on who you think is going to win that at WrestleMania.
Well, I actually think Cody is going to win, but I think it's to catapult him to other things. And I think if they do this right with the other Samoans that they have coming in, you know, maybe Tama Tonga, you know, and maybe like a Jacob Fatu if he comes in, maybe you split them with The Rock if The Rock turns and you do like a six-man bloodline versus bloodline or something.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy. That would be crazy.
Mike, what do you think?
As much as I've been in and out of the loop of WWE, I want to see The Rock turn, and I do want him to call himself the head of the table and start his own faction, because yes. I'm with you, Nathan. I want to see if they're going to bring in Zilla and Jacob.
That'll be not what happens because WWE does not want to send everybody home happy. Because I wanted to see Chad Gable go over that for that belt, and he had it. If he would have went over on Gunther on that match, I mean, that place would have went nuts, and they just couldn't let it happen. So whatever you guys are thinking is not going to happen. Because
you know what?
Everybody home happy. I'm sorry, bro. It's just true.
You are just old. That's your problem.
You are just a bitter old
man. You're just a bitter old man. That's your damn problem.
Anyway,
by the way,
3 minutes.
I know, quick. The next time we, because we do have to have, Nathan, we do have to have you guys back on. Because I want to find out what the wrestling is like up there where you guys are at. We didn't even dive into your wrestling scene.
Well,
so we're gonna have to do this again.
We didn't even tell Nathan how when Steve Dodge was out here, we all put money together to see him get chopped at OCCW.
It was almost like
$35. I'm like, I'll put in $1. So I was like, I'll put in $5. And then somebody put in $20. And then he got the mess chopped out of him. So we'll have to save that for another show because we're running
and
up
him
against
running around.
Yeah. But
him
Nathan.
Him running around.
Yeah, running because he didn't want to get chopped again. But Nathan, we'll definitely have you. Maybe we can get you and Anthony Wagner on at the same time so we can go over a little bit. Maybe after WrestleMania so we can kind of see how everything kind of played out and stuff like that. So we appreciate you coming on. Okay, my man?
Sounds good. Well, really quick, though, on May 4th, down here in Long Beach, Washington, our promotion, Inclusion Pro Wrestling, is putting on Galactic Warfare. It's a Star Wars 3 themed show, If anybody's interested, you can call the inclusion phone number, which is 360-560-2219 for tickets.
And what's the social media? Do they just get you or Anthony on Facebook, or what's the social media?
Yeah, you can look up it's Anthony Wagner on Facebook or Nathan Knopf on Facebook, and you can get tickets that way.
Perfect. We'll make sure we send everybody over there so they can check out that Galactic Warfare. Nathan, amazing. Thank you. We'll be in touch, bro, for sure. We're going to get you guys back on. All right, my man?
All right. Thank you very much. This was awesome.
All right. Thank you, Nathan. We'll be right back to
being on, bro.
Wrap this up. Nathan,
right, thank
everybody.
You very much.
We'll be right back.
Sounds Drive.
Had to put that back on, man, even though we're running up against the clock. I gotta calm down.
You know,
I don't smoke weed.
We're going to find another one. Between that and Justin Bieber,
this
you're killing me.
Then we got this one. That's our melon. And no, here's one for Mike.
Oh my God.
The last one for the evening. One more since we're running up against the clock.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
Can you feel it, Mike?
The last song sounded like something that Super Porky would come out to.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
We got to get together so we can do it. It's funny, dude. You know, unfortunately, it was last minute, so I wasn't able to see what's going on or where. But my favorite of all is this one.
What?
That's Mason. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Mason, we're gonna book such and such again, and he'll go.
What?
Anyways, Mike, a million thank you. Dude, I always have a good time, man. For the people in this, don't forget Pacific Wrestling Alliance, steadily making some strides to work on the website. We also will be this Saturday at Metroflex Gym. We're going to try to do some live stuff over there. Free hot dogs. Got to definitely come and get those. Mike, we got exactly 42 seconds, so give me some last words and we'll get out of here.
Appreciate everybody listening. Hey, you guys. We're going to start putting that telephone number up. We want to start hearing you guys' voices. We want you guys to get involved in this. So don't be afraid. Listen to the radio show. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/BossHog9 to get us on Apple Podcasts and to hear our past shows. But we want you guys involved because we want to take this to another level. Okay, I'm done.
Definitely. And also big thanks to Tom Erickson for coming on. He's coming there in my ear going 60 seconds. And Nathan Knopf, we'll see everybody here next Tuesday. I'm going to leave you with this.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
See you, Mike.
All right, man. Later.